KXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with a special Top 10 edition of the Up North Report. Our number four story was months in the making. There were rumbles about sulfate standards in the legislature in April, and three public meetings on the Iron Range in August and September. It culminated in Megan Buffington's lengthy story placing the current debate around a permit for U.S. Steel's Keetac mine in historical, political, and environmental context. Megan puts herself back in that ranger-packed room in Virginia.
Estimates vary, but at least 400 rangers were at the Iron Trail Motors Event Center for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's public hearing in September. Environmental advocates called for enforcement of a 50-year-old standard meant to protect sacred wild rice. Miners and politicians say enforcement could mean the end of mining on the range, and if the range falls, the rest of the state falls with it. New wastewater permits for Keetac are the latest step in a complex, years-long saga that involves tribal sovereignty, local and international economics, governmental rulemaking, and scientific debate. The issue has come to a head at a difficult, uncertain time for the range, with hundreds of Cleveland Cliffs miners laid off and U.S. Steel set to sell to a Japanese company. The state's wild rice sulfate standard has never really been enforced for various reasons. The 10 milligrams per liter limit is well below the drinking water limit of 250 milligrams per liter, and there isn't really anything comparable to it in the country. Under current conditions, the standard can't be changed, and U.S. Steel says compliance will cost hundreds of millions of dollars. The only way out is a variance from the PCA. The agency preliminarily denied U.S. Steel's variance request, but that decision is what public comment was open for. Public comment on the permits closed in late September. The PCA says over 1,100 comments were submitted from many different viewpoints. The PCA and U.S. Steel agreed to extend the timeline to make a decision on the variance request. The agency does not have an estimate for when the final decision will be announced, but know that when it is, we'll be there to cover it. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
The Minnesota legislature was the source of many news-making moments this year. An election winner was found ineligible to serve, leading to a perfectly split House of Representatives that prompted gridlock and a delayed start. State Senator Nicole Mitchell's burglary trial loomed large. Nothing grabbed headlines more here or across the nation than the shocking and heartbreaking assassination of former House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, along with the attempted killing of State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette in June after the session's conclusion. Our number three story of the year was the legislative storyline that our newsroom covered the closest, however. It began in mid-March when former State Senator Justin Eichhorn of Grand Rapids was arrested in a law enforcement sting operation. In a federal criminal case, 41-year-old Eichhorn is accused of attempting to hire an undercover police officer for paid sex at a Bloomington hotel who he believed to be a 17-year-old. The Republican was first elected in 2016 and most recently represented Senate District 6. He resigned from the Senate 3 days after his March 17th arrest, prompting a special election to fill the remainder of his term. The race drew 8 interested Republicans and 4 DFLers. The local DFL endorsed Denise Slipey, leading the other 3 to drop out. The crowded Republican field meant there would be a special primary election. It included some well-known names like former state GOP chairwoman Jennifer Carnahan, Josh Gazelka, the son of former Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka, and Kerry Heintzman, whose husband Josh represents some of the same area in the Minnesota House. Heintzman emerged as the winning Republican candidate both in the special primary and in terms of fundraising. She went on to claim this seat, earning 60% of the vote in her defeat of Slipey. We'll expect to see these names again on the ballot as both have made moves toward running in 2026. Meanwhile, Eichhorn's criminal case continues. Eichhorn had claimed he was singled out for a federal charge because of his status as a public official, but in late November, the judge rejected those claims. That's it for this special Top 10 edition of the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. Find our full list at KAXE.org. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.